So did anybody pick up on the name of the one with all the doubts? Anybody pick up on the name of the one with all the doubts? I'm glad you did. That's good. These are my children paying attention there. Oh, I've got a hand over here. Over here. Go on. Yeah. Thomas. Well done. Was that what you thought as well? Thomas. Brilliant. We have a disciple, Thomas. There's a phrase which we now use called doubting Thomas. If you're a doubting Thomas, now you know where that phrase comes from. It comes this passage of Scripture. Now let me just say a quick prayer before I begin speaking. So God our Father, would you breathe your Holy Spirit on us as Jesus breathed on his first disciples and help us to know you more. Amen. Now, I don't know if any of you have seen this show, but I've been watching a programme on BBC One this week. Well, it's been on catch-up because it's been quite a busy couple of weeks, to be honest. And it was called about people going on a pilgrimage together. They were walking something called the Camino de Santiago, which is a walk from like France to all the way to kind of the west coast of Spain. In total, it's like 800 kilometres or something. And they got a whole group of people, mix of kind of celebrity-type people, a couple of atheists, humanists, a vicar, someone who had faith but had been hurt by the church before, a minister's son, and one person who just didn't know what they believed. And they all walked this together, and they followed that story in this three-part documentary as they walked and walked and walked, because it was a long way. I'm not sure I want to go on pilgrimage. It looked really hard. But the show shows their conversations as they begin to talk to each other about issues of faith. And one of the things which struck me was that those who were without a faith tended to expect that those with a faith to always be absolutely certain about everything, to never have any doubts about their beliefs. For some reason, there's an assumption that if you are a Christian or a person of faith, that you should never have any doubts. But I think that this is a mistake. I think this is a mistake. I think that we are allowed to have doubts. I think that we are allowed to ask questions. And I actually think that the strength of our faith often depends on our ability to be honest about our doubts and to face them, to work through them. This morning, we've baptized two little children, Lucas and Opway. We've welcomed them into the community of faith, but they have no idea what that is yet. They don't know. This is only the beginning of their journey. And it's a journey which is going to include faith, but it'll also include uncertainty. They will have questions and concerns. And we trust that as they grow, they will ask them, they will raise them, and they will have people around them to help. And ultimately, we trust that God is involved, that God is revealing the truth and drawing them in, helping them to develop faith and trust. And in our Bible passage this morning, we heard about Thomas, poor Thomas, who, despite the fact he did quite a lot of other great stuff, earned himself the nickname Doubting Thomas, which I think is a bit unfair, really. We're told that Jesus appeared to his disciples after he had died and been raised to life again. He physically appeared. He wasn't an apparition or a ghost. He could do fancy tricks, though, like appear in kind of rooms with locked doors. So he wasn't quite the same as he was before, but he was flesh and blood. He showed them his hands where the wounds were. He showed them the side of his body, which had the mark where the spear had been pierced by the Roman spear. But Thomas hadn't been there for that experience. And so when all the other disciples came to them and said, "Hey, Thomas, guess what?" They told him this crazy story about Jesus appearing in the flesh. And he was understandably skeptical. I'm sorry, the dead being raised is not an easy sell. Okay, it generally just doesn't happen. And so he didn't take their word for it. He said that if he was going to believe, he needed to see it for himself. And over the years, we've judged poor Thomas on this, on his lack of faith. But you know who didn't judge him? Jesus. Jesus didn't judge him. He didn't tell him off for his unbelief. Jesus came to the disciples again when Thomas was present. He showed Thomas what he had showed the others, his hands and his side. He let Thomas touch the wound and was able to say to Thomas, "You can stop doubting now and believe." Thomas had seen with his own eyes now, just like the other disciples. And not only was he able to believe, but he then addressed Jesus as "my Lord and my God." He called Jesus "my God," a huge statement of faith about Jesus not only coming back to life, but about his identity as God. This is the first time that Jesus is addressed as God. So his faith went even further than the faith of the other disciples. It might have taken him a bit longer to get there, but actually when it did, his faith was strengthened. There is something very powerful about being able to see things and touch things. The disciples had that privilege. They had that opportunity. Sadly, the rest of us don't quite get that. We don't have Jesus with us in the flesh. We have him with us by his Spirit, which is a bit less tangible. We also have these eyewitness accounts of what happened. John wrote his gospel, and at the end he said, at the end of the reading, "Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name." So our faith isn't blind faith. You know, we have these scriptures written down for us so that we may believe, so that we can discover and have faith. But that doesn't mean it's always going to be easy, and it doesn't mean that we're going to understand and have all of the answers to everything. We are allowed to be a bit like Thomas. We are allowed to have our doubts and express them, to ask our questions and to be honest about the things we find hard or don't understand. This is part of the faith journey. It's why we often refer to it as a journey. The road is long and windy, and there are hills and there are valleys. There are moments of clarity, and then a cloud hits us, and everything vanishes, and we get a bit lost. We wander from the path sometimes and lose it for a while, and then we come back and we discover it again. But each step of the way, we try to trust that God is with us, though sometimes we feel it, and sometimes we don't. We're a bit like the pilgrims on that BBC One programme on their big journey, but it's life we're travelling through. And it's always nice to have times when our faith is strong and secure, but we don't need to hide from our doubts and our uncertainties. We need to be honest. We need to ask our questions. And in doing so, strengthen our faith so that we too can say to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Amen.